On this show, you will learn how to recognize the patterns used by the psychopaths that are controlling our world, who have created the living hell we find ourselves in here on planet Earth, where doctors create disease and destroy life and administer biological weapons, nicknamed vaccines, which are corrupting our very genetic structure, where governments have become terrorists against the people they purport to serve and commit treason every day by allowing the destruction of our air, water, food, and planet, where police and the judicial system protect the criminals and persecute the innocent. And, of course, we all know that the government is suppressing the natural solutions to all of the problems already available because they are committing treason and their lobbyists are stuffing so much cash into their pockets to make sure that we continue to be poisoned with no natural resolution. The ability to see the big picture is a critical skill necessary to formulate the solutions we need to bring these predators down. The critical step for every one of the conscience is to do your own research, as we have been lied to about everything. And as I always say, don't believe me either. Check things out for yourself. Because once you find your own information and your intuition, your gut, whatever you want to call it, tells you that this resonates as truth, then you can start to decide what are you going to do about it. Because, of course, if you do nothing, you are already dead. Please check out my website, Reversing Vaccine Induced Diseases.com. If you go to the services section, you can learn how I do consults. My other website is drcarly.com, which is a little bit more, let's just say, deep in terms of, you know, information about how inoculations are actually weapons of mass destruction and things of that nature. So I strongly suggest you start out and have anyone you're interested in having start to investigate these issues, especially about vaccines. Start with Reversing Vaccine Induced, I-N-D-U-C-E-D, diseases.com. If you think my work is important, please tell others about the show. You can support my work by donating on the PayPal buttons on either of my sites. You can help friends or family who are too ill to face reality by getting a consult for them from me. You can contact me by emailing me at drcarly@gmail.com or calling me at 828-294-0662 between 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time any day of the week. I also have a toll-free number, 888-321-6751, on which you can contact me from anywhere in the U.S., Canada, or the Caribbean. If you get a strange message that the number's been disconnected or whatever, have the operator dial it for you. My Skype username is drcarly1, but please don't use Skype unless you don't have access by the toll-free number, because I use Skype primarily for international clients and radio shows. I do not practice medicine nor give medical advice. Rather, I teach you what I would do if I were you to reverse disease with natural therapies in people and in pets. Archives of my shows for the past 4 years on various networks can be found at thelightofdayradioshow.com. Click on Dr. Carly Archives. If you have questions or comments during the show, you can call in at 800-313-9443. Very important that callers mute their phones while waiting to be brought on so as not to cause interference. Please wait until the second hour to call in so I have an opportunity to introduce the topic of the week. Okay, there's the music. We're going to a break. We'll be right back. And we're back with Blood Sailing America, where our answer today is medical assault on the immune system by bioweapon vaccines. My special guest is Dr. Vera Scheibner. Let me just quickly finish my intro. Please support the Republic Broadcasting Network if you appreciate the shows that are broadcast here. And please let the network know what shows are your favorites. Also, please sign up for my weekly newsletter. You can do so by going to reversingvaccineinducediseases.com. Click on the link section at the bottom. You will see where you can sign up for free. I am one of, I think it's five different contributors to the American Survival Newsletter. Each one of us covers different topics, and trust me, this is information that can save your life. Let me just get on with the interview of Dr. Scheibner, because I'm so excited to have her on with me today. I have, let me just say, she's been one of my heroes for many years. I first found out about her through her outstanding book that I encourage all of you to purchase. It is got kind of a long name, Vaccination, 100 Years of Orthodox Research, shows that vaccines represent a medical assault on the immune system, by Vera Scheibner, Ph.D. Copyright 1993. So isn't it amazing? This is 20 years ago, and they're still pushing these bioweapons on us. It's truly amazing. Let me just say that Dr. Scheibner, who is calling us from Australia, and there's quite a time difference, so I'm very thankful to her, you know, to be willing to come on. I'm not sure exactly what time it is there, but, you know, we have a huge listening audience, and it's very important for all of you to hear her information. Dr. Scheibner is a retired principal research scientist and the author of numerous published studies. In one of her most important studies presented at the second immunization conference held in Canberra, Australia in May 1991, and also discussed in her book, she uncovers a significant association between nonspecific stress syndrome, DPT injections, and cot death. So, Dr. Scheibner, I want to bring you on now. I have so much information in front of me, including, let me just say, your outstanding document, A Critique of the 16-page Australian Pro-Vaccination Booklet entitled The Science of Immunization, Question and Answers. That link will be posted on my archives on the lightofdayradioshow.com underneath the archive of the actual show. So don't worry about writing it down. You can access that link, and please do so. Those of us who are in the know need to start really pushing in order to stop the assault on children, animals, everything that breathes. You know, our food source animals are being vaccinated as well. But let me shut up and let Dr. Scheibner come on. And I thank you so much for joining us today. If you could just start out by telling the listeners, how did you get started in investigating cot death, which is what Australians call, you know, what we call sudden infant death syndrome? How did that all start out?
Well, it all started in 1985. On 12th of October, at a party, I met Leif Carlson. Obviously a Swedish name. He was a biomedical engineer, electronics engineer living in Australia. We met at a party, and I always ask people what they do for a living. And when I asked him that question, he said that he was a biomedical engineer specializing in patient monitoring systems. And I don't know why, but I just blurted a question at him. Would you develop a breathing monitor for babies? And he sort of looked at me and he said, yeah, I think I can do it. And so it took a year and a day exactly, from that memorable evening to the first unit of our monitor, which we called cot watch, like watching the baby's bed, going to the first couple who decided to monitor their newborn baby's breathing. Now, 1980s was the time when these researchers, SIDS researchers, were looking at the breathing of babies because they thought that suddenly tens of thousands of babies are born with inborn fault in breathing controls. Anyway, anybody who knows only a smattering of genetics knows that that's nonsense, that genetics doesn't work that way. And even if it were a genetic problem, it needs a trigger. Right. And it took a long time. Basically, we stayed in touch with all parents who used our monitor and advised them to give us a ring when they had alarms, because monitoring starts when you have alarms. And that's the way you have the monitor, because you want to be made aware by alarms that something is wrong with the baby. So people had no alarms until 2 months, and then suddenly everybody who used our monitors had alarms. We asked them what happened, and that was different from all those researchers who never looked what happened before those babies died or became ill. And we asked that crucial question, and in every case, people said the child was vaccinated. And we started looking into those vaccines. Until that time, I didn't even know that there was any controversy surrounding this procedure. Indeed, I had my children vaccinated, but then there was only DPT and polio vaccine and nothing more. They were both very ill, constant ear infections, tonsillitis. But it took research into babies breathing for me to finally open my own eyes. So I started going to medical libraries because I am an Orthodox educated scientist, and I was heading for medical literature straight away. And to my astonishment, I realized that there is an overwhelming number of medical research papers dealing with problems with vaccination. And I emphasize it, and I can't emphasize it enough, that all my information, besides, of course, our own research into babies breathing, all my information comes from published medical research. I must also say that Leif developed a computerized breathing monitor, computerized cot watch, and instead of just showing doctors records of alarms by parents, they had special forms on which they recorded all alarms and the circumstances surrounding it, the symptoms, etc. And we started showing computer printouts of babies breathing. And I must say that ever since that time, we never heard the word anecdotal, and they took what I was saying seriously. Indeed, I was invited, as you said, to a pro-vaccination conference in Canberra to present our results of a study of babies breathing. And out of a total number of about 200 delegates, practically everybody came to my 15-minute talk. People were standing in the aisles, everybody, and it was the last talk of the day. You know how dangerous those talks are, because right, people are tired and they don't come to your lecture. They sort of, but everybody who was anybody came to my lecture. And that was also the only time when I managed to present the whole thing in 15 minutes, never since. But I said to myself, it's now or never. And I did a good job of it. After the talk, there was only time for one question. An immunologist said, you know, I know of a few medical papers that actually proved that there is no link between vaccination and SIDS. And I said, yes. And comparative material that I used in our research, meaning looking at the deaths of babies in the United States, comes from those very papers. Because I took information as published in papers dealing with link between, or otherwise link between vaccination and SIDS, and I retabulated it, because they usually don't tabulate their data. It's just scattered through the text. I tabulated it, and bingo. Those deaths, so-called Tennessee deaths, in the United States, clustered along the critical days, which we established in our records of babies breathing. Because, you see, the stress response is not a straight line. When babies were given the vaccines, and that was the only stress that we could record in 2 months old babies, and on computer printouts, we saw flare-ups of stress breathing. And those flare-ups were not the same on every day. Initially, 24 hours after vaccination, there was only a slight increase in stress, but major increase in stress level was 48 hours, 2 days after vaccination. Then the stress level went down and started climbing towards the seventh day. So between 5 and 7 days, again, there was increased stress level in breathing. Then the stress level went down, and in babies who were given the second or third vaccine, That was later, in 4 months and 6 months old babies. There was an increase in stress level on day 10, 11. Then the stress level went down and started increasing towards the 16th day, and so on. 7 day units with up and down dynamics of stress response. Now, when you see clustering like this, that indicates focus link. Nobody actually questions or seriously criticizes these results, and they actually listen. Even when I went to a conference organized from Salt Lake City, Utah, you know, the group on...
I'm sorry to interrupt you, Dr. Scheibner. We're going to a break. That's what the music signifies. I don't want anybody to miss a word of what you're saying. So if you can start there when we come back. Stay tuned, folks. And we're back with What's Ailing America, where our answer today is medical assault on the immune system by bioweapon vaccines, with my special guest, Dr. Vera Scheibner from Australia. And I want you to continue, Dr. Scheibner, where you left off. But first, I want to underline something you said, which is so important, because, of course, the corruption in science has led to a situation now where, you know, genetics is always blamed. It's always the genetics. And, of course, there's a principle in homeopathy called the miasm, which is basically a weak link in your immune system. And if they would leave their assaults away from us, of course, there wouldn't be these diseases. So I totally agree with what you said, that the genetic tendencies need a trigger. And the genetic tendencies would not lead disease unless they supplied the trigger, which, in my opinion, all of internal medicine is actually vaccine-induced diseases. So please take it away from where you were before the break.
Okay, I was at the conference on shaken baby syndrome, which was in Sydney just a few days before 9/11. And I attended the conference, and I challenged practically every speaker at the conference. And one of them, and I sort of helped myself sometimes to their overhead projector, and I showed records of those critical days, records of the reactions in babies after vaccination. And I must say that even the staunchest proponents of this shaken baby syndrome, which is basically death caused by vaccination, they are vaccine deaths for which parents are blamed and often incarcerated. I mean, there isn't a bigger crime than committing a crime and then framing innocent bystanders for it. And I must say that even the staunchest accusers of parents started listening. My God, like I read it in their eyes. What are we doing? And there was also one speaker that I challenged who was from Salt Lake City, Utah, Rob Parrish. He was then a prosecutor, and he wanted to make computer simulations of shaking admissible as evidence in court. And I only asked him a couple of questions. I said, have you ever, or you anybody else, seen someone shaking a baby who subsequently developed what you call foolproof 100% evidence of shaking? And he said, no. And I said, well, then you have no evidence. And if you finally started listening to the account of the events by the accused parents, you would see vaccination going like a silver thread right through all these cases. And he deflated. There was no more talk about computer simulations of shaking being accepted in court. And actually, when he returned back to Salt Lake City, where there was one case for which I prepared an expert report, he offered the mother, accused mother, a deal. If she admits that she contributed to the death of her child, she would be sent home on 1 year unsupervised parole and no criminal conviction. Now, that I call a success. And it was just me asking those two questions. And apparently...
Let me just interject here. And, of course, that's how they got around the fact of admission that the vaccines were behind it all. And yes, she did contribute, because unfortunately she didn't do any research and brought her baby to the pediatrician. So that's her only mistake in all of this, because she believed the lies. as you did and as I did. My only child was brain damaged from vaccines, and that's what got me started in this investigation about 16 years ago. But I just want to mention, as dramatic as that is, of course, the fraud continues. I've had, as a guest on my show, a police officer from Australia by the name of Chris Savage, who was made very sick by his hepatitis B vaccine, and that's when he started asking questions. When he was sent in to investigate cot deaths, he would ask the parents the vaccine history of the child, and he was promptly fired for doing so. Go ahead.
Actually, that's not quite accurate. He retired later on health reasons, but that's beside the point. He is. I met him personally. He came to one of my lectures afterwards. I actually stayed with his family in his home. And he is a person who inquires about things. He doesn't just believe what the authority tell us, etc. So all police officers should be like that. But unfortunately, the reality is different. You see, we are governed by ignorant and stupid people. We have to realize that.
Yes.
And ignorance that breeds stupidity. And it is very important for us to publicize the reality, the truth, as much as possible. And that was also the reason why I challenged that really dreadful booklet that was issued by the Australian Academy of Sciences, the science of immunization, which you reverse everything they say, and that's the truth. In other words, every statement in it is untrue and a pure lie, and it doesn't even reflect medical research.
Exactly. Now, okay, wait, hold on. There's the music. We're going to a break. The breaks come up very quickly, and I'm sorry for the interruption. And as I said, the link to her excellent critique of the Australian pro-vaccination booklet will be on my archives on the letterdayradioshow.com, so you'll be able to check that out for yourself. Very, very impressive. We'll be
right
back. You're
listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network.
And we're back with What's Ailing America, where our answer today is medical assault on immune system by bioweapon vaccines. And, of course, as most of my shows go, this is actually what's ailing the world. My special guest is Dr. Vera Scheibner. And like you, Dr. Scheibner, my investigation into medical research that actually documents vaccines causing all kinds of problems is extensive. One thing I learned from your excellent paper, Shaken Baby Syndrome Diagnosis on Shaky Ground, I did not know that actually, as it turns out, that it's been amply demonstrated that administration of vaccines such as DPT results in depletion of vitamin C reserves, leading to acute scurvy. So we can actually explain all the different things that these children that are claimed to have shaken baby syndrome are manifesting, because, of course, if a parent comes across a child that's turned blue and has stopped breathing, they're going to try to do resuscitation. And if the child has acute scurvy, it's going to be easy to break their bones. I have in front of me, actually, an article published in, The Lancet on June 3rd, 2003, where they admit that thrombocytopenia, which is low platelets, can arise after administration of the MMR vaccine. So, of course, that's what's going to be responsible for the babies having bleeding, subretinal hemorrhages, whatever kind of things they find in the head. So all of these things are actually proven by the researchers themselves, but it's amazing to read these articles. I'm referring to Vaccination and Autoimmune Disease, What is the Evidence? Lancet 2003, on November 15th. And it's amazing to read these articles because even though they do make certain admissions, they always twist and spin things and, you know, try to come up with a conclusion that this could possibly be coincidence. That whole coincidence thing, you know, is really absurd because, as we've seen, the vaccine schedule get bigger and bigger and bigger over time. Of course, we're seeing all diseases, not only in people but in pets as well. The chronic diseases have just massively skyrocketed, and they're blaming it on something else. We don't know what it is. We got to keep doing research, but you know, it can't be vaccines, even when we have this research, like I just said, that the MMR vaccine can cause a decreased platelet count. So that's what we're dealing with, is absolute corruption and fraud. And of course, most of these research studies are conducted by big pharma, you know, funded research laboratories. So that in itself is a huge red flag. Take it away.
Well, where do we start? Because as I said, I started going to medical libraries. To this day, I located, studied, cataloged, etc., more than 150,000 pages of medical papers. I had to extend my house by 100 square meters just to house that library. It is a national treasure, that library, because it I have it all in one place, right from the beginning of 20th century, from 1900 to this day. And and the papers, even at the beginning of the medical research, already were bringing evidence of the link between vaccines and serious reactions. You mentioned vitamin C. Yes, even before the vitamin C was isolated as such in 1930, researchers knew that there was scurvy. Of course, scurvy has been known over centuries, you know, the mariners going on long voyages without any fresh fruit and vegetables. They were just simply dropping dead from scurvy. But also it was caused a hemorrhagic disease. And because scurvy affects the vascular system, and it causes increased permeability of the walls of the vascular system, and then red blood cells actually seep through the gaps. In shaken baby syndrome, it is not broken veins or arteries. It is actually a weakened wall of these blood vessels. And it was even recorded already in early 1970s. This on scanning electron microscope, you can actually see in the paper red blood cell deforming itself and squeezing through the gap gaps in the vascular walls. So if only they just looked properly at the pathology that occurs in these babies who suffered so-called shaken baby syndrome, they would see that there was no shaking needed. There is no need for any trauma, for bruises and bleeding to occur. Already in 1932, they published in a paper that babies were admitted to hospital with subdural and retinal hemorrhages, and they established that it was caused by scurvy. They didn't even think of accusing parents of shaking these babies. It all started really with John Caffey in 1943. He was a pediatric radiologist who was never formally trained. He admitted it this in his paper, that he was surprised that they employed him as a radiologist when he was never formally trained. And he made a mess of things. He published pictures of absolutely clearly clear signs of scurvy, meaning certain characteristic bizarre bone fractures. Those bone fractures are not normal fractures. They are bizarre, and also bleeding in variety of places, and also in the bones. And he even wrote that it is not caused by scurvy. So he publishes something that is characteristic of scurvy, and then he denies that it was scurvy, and started accusing parents of shaking these babies. But what is very sad is that all those formerly trained radiologists, they continue perpetuating this nonsense created by someone who didn't know what he was talking about, and keep accusing parents of basically vaccine injuries. So this is what makes it so so tragic and so disconcerting, that today doctors don't seem to be properly trained and misinterpret or something that they could learn from existing medical literature. I often, when I'm interviewed, which was recently a few days ago on live radio show here, I said that I'm saying it with great sadness that medical doctors actually don't read medical literature. And so ignorance, which breeds stupidity and also it is a form of maliciousness, results in accusations of innocent parents of injuring babies. And yes, you were right when you said that any excuse will do except vaccines. Now, the interesting thing is that, yes, they said it's all coincidental. Well, a hell of a lot of coincidence, hundreds of tons of cases all over the world, when the World Health Organization states that two cases mean clustering. And so how come then such thing as those Tennessee deaths, which was over 100 deaths, were not seen as for what it was, seen clustering of deaths after vaccination. So we are living in the world which is upside down. But these days I urge parents to educate themselves, because, you see, in 1950s there was very little in the media about these issues. These days we have the internet, and it is at everybody's fingertips, literally, to find the truth about vaccination and before they would subject their children to something that may kill them. So I urge parents to tell even doctors about vaccine reactions. And of course, people don't have to vaccinate. Here I have to address something that happened recently in Australia. Australian Constitution expressly doesn't allow any medical procedure to be mandated. That has run up on the American Constitution, which talks about safety in one's person, but it doesn't expressly warn against or prevent mandating medical procedure. So in Australia, they push vaccines, but they still must admit, and they do, that vaccination is not mandatory, that people actually have a choice. Now, they tried it surreptitiously to make an impression that vaccination is mandatory by linking certain payments, Social Security, and they call it a tax system, assistance act. They tie some of these payments to a certificate of vaccination, but they also state that a child is considered vaccinated immunized if it was given the vaccine, if it developed natural immunity by exposure to natural diseases, or if parents sign a conscientious objection to vaccination after a doctor will counsel them about the benefits and risks of vaccination, and if they still insist, he must countersign this form. And in the latest Australian Immunisation Handbook, the 10th edition, you know, they sneaked in that parents must produce certificate of immunisation on enrolment to preschool or to school. While the reality is that it is only a form which indicates vaccination status, meaning whether the child has or has not been vaccinated. I mean, the way they are behaving, it is so undemocratic, to say the least. But recently I watched a video with speeches of Hitler, and, you know, I am old enough to have lived it. His screeching voice is still ringing in my ears. And he used the same tactics, the same reasoning, the same threats as these people use. I don't know whether they are aware that they are emulating Hitler. You know, one of the past prime ministers was saying, who is not with us is against us. Well, that was the slogan of the Nazis in Nazi Germany. And you know, these politicians are ignorant, but unfortunately they are not aware of it, and they are pushing all sorts of really dreadful, undemocratic and dangerous ideas. But
well, let me just say, I don't think that they're ignorant. I think they're being paid off. There are so many governments that are getting all kinds of funding corruptly by increasing their vaccination protocols. And, of course, Africa is a prime example of that. I'm sure you're aware of the recent situation in Chad, Africa, where they were vaccinating children, and half of them developed paralysis and epilepsy, and they tried to say it was all in the children's heads. So I think that this is basically the governments around the world selling out their own people, because, of course, we know there's a depopulation agenda, but not to mention the fact that the more money that they can bring in from Big Pharma through whatever corrupt deals that they have, that's why they're pushing all these different things. And it's very important for the listeners to read the document that I just talked about, your critique of the 16-page Australian pro-vaccination booklet. Yes, I read in there where they actually say that a child is considered immunized if they have a, you know, legal exemption, which is kind of funny when you think about it. But you talk about in this article on page 42 about this acute necrotizing hemorrhagic encephalopathy, which is a demyelinating disease characterized by rapid onset. And I realized years ago that, in fact, the major damage that the vaccines are doing to the nervous system is demyelination. You know, the myelin being the insulator that allows conduction in the nerves, just like the plastic coating on an electrical cord. And the only thing that determines what neurological problem you have is where the damage occurs. Now, in the case of this acute necrotizing hemorrhagic encephalopathy, the disease is just so massive that, you know, it just brings death about so quickly. So I wanted to ask you, I'm very curious, since this is obviously what's causing the breathing to stop, in the parents that you worked with that had these machines that would set off an alarm when the child stopped breathing, obviously those parents were at an advantage because they were able to, you know, go and, you know, attend to the baby and do whatever they could to get the baby to breathe again. In those cases, were they actually able to save the babies, even though we know that this acute necrotizing hemorrhagic encephalopathy must have been started and that was the reason they weren't breathing properly?
Well, we have to go back to 1980s. A lady died in 1994, I must say, and Kotwatch, the breathing monitor, died with him, because when you have a monitor, you need an engineer to be on call, etc. So that was the time when babies were only given DPT and polio vaccine. Mm-hmm. And so reactions were milder, and the numbers of deaths were lower. These days, when babies are given so many vaccines, so many multiple vaccines in one go, I'm actually surprised that any child survives that assault. But anyway, so when the alarms sounded, of course, we advised parents to have a look at the baby, and babies were actually had alarms when breathing became very shallow. So the problem is not apnea, but hypopnea, meaning shallow, low-volume breathing.
Okay.
And these episodes of low-volume breathing also followed the dynamics of so-called critical days, where three, four hours after vaccination was one critical hour, then between 11 p.m. and midnight, talking about the critical hour, talking about the 11th hour, it was reflected in increased stress level in babies after vaccination. So very interesting stuff. Then there was another critical hour, 3 a.m., which is called the liver time. So, but every time when the alarm sounded, parents had a look at the baby. And it was not necessary to always nudge the baby back to breathing, but when the alarm sounded too long, or was going to sound too long, then parents just gently touched the baby, and they usually returned back to normal breathing. today.
Okay, hold on. I'm so sorry. We're going to another break. We'll be right back, and we'll pick it up from that point. And we're back with Let's Alien America and the World. And our answer today is medical assault on the immune system by bioweapon vaccines. My special guest is Dr. Vera Scheibner from Australia. And please continue where you were going, Dr. Scheibner. When I asked you about whether or not the parents were able to intervene, I'm glad you pointed out that very important fact that these children were basically causing the machine to alarm because they were becoming hypoxic, in other words, low oxygen levels. It wasn't an apnea situation where they actually stopped breathing. And, of course, this is because, as you stated, back in those days, you know, there was just, you know, the DPT and polio vaccines pretty much. Now we have up to 65 vaccines given to children by the time they're 5 years old, at least here in America. And so that's a very important point. And what a shame that this engineer is no longer with us. Imagine the documentation that you could get if those machines were still available and parents could acquire them. Of course, the problem is that if a parent knew the risk of this happening in their child, they would probably never get the vaccine in the first place, so they wouldn't need a monitor. But yes, that's a very important point. I wanted to ask you, do you ever testify in court on behalf of parents whose children were killed by vaccines and they're charged with shaken baby?
Well, yes, I was asked for and prepared more than 120 expert reports for cases of shaken baby syndrome. In many cases, there was no need to go to court. But I testified in court, and the results were mixed because we also have to consider the ignorance and susceptibility to corrupt behavior on the part of the judiciary. Yeah. And so despite seeing clear evidence from medical literature that the pathology, subdural rectal hemorrhages, and in some cases those broken bones, are actually caused by scurvy, which is caused by vaccination. This is all documented in medical literature. Despite that, they ignored the evidence. And so we have two major problems here, not just the medical profession, but also the legal profession and judiciary. So, but I want still to go back to our monitor, Cotwatch. I said that I wouldn't even want those highly over-vaccinated babies on it, because don't forget, when a child is damaged to a point where it is going to die, 20 monitors would not save it. The monitor would alarm, but that alone would not be a guarantee that anybody, even a properly trained medical staff, could revive a dying child. Right. So, and there is plenty of evidence in medical literature that the rate of infant death is closely tied to the rate of vaccination, meaning vaccination compliance. Because this happened in the 1970s all over the world. In mid-70s in England, media showed the brain damage caused by the DPT vaccine, and the parents' compliance fell to 30% and not only that the incidence of whooping cough went down, which is documented in an article published in The Lancet, but the infant mortality vastly improved. And right. Then,
when I'm sorry to interrupt again, this is a very short break before we go to the second hour. We'll start taking calls, so if you're interested in speaking to Dr. Scheibner, you can start calling in now. We'll get back to this topic after the break. Such important information, folks. Please tell everybody you know to listen to this archive. This should definitely awake a lot of parents. We'll be right back.